Good morning, everyone. I'm Lauren Adkins. I'm the Director of Community Connections here at Reveille United Methodist Church, and we're so excited to have you here with us. Today is the second Sunday after Easter, and this is also UWF Sunday. So this is a Sunday where we are going to be celebrating the resurrection. Reverend Katie Gooch is going to be leading us in a message where we're going to be contemplating what it means to live into the resurrection, and we're also going to be thinking about the women who serve this church and how they are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ every single day. So I want to draw your attention to a few things within the bulletin. You'll see again that Katie is here with us today. Laura Holdyke will be speaking to you from the UWF, and then also if you look in the section, oh gosh, I should have unwrapped it first. If you look in your third panel under supporting the community, you'll see that on April 27th, Reveille will be participating once again in Rebuilding Together. This is a time where we can come together for one day, put our energy and resources behind home repairs in one home that will impact how someone lives their daily life every single day. So please sign up if you would like to. If you have any questions about that, you can come ask me or send me an email. Additionally, there inside your bulletin is a handout about the United Women in Faith. This is for you to learn more about that group if you're interested in supporting them or joining them as a group. It's a wonderful ministry within the life of the church, but also look forward to Laura Holdyke sharing more with you later. And that's all for me. The Lord be with you.
I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me now for our call to worship. We gather in the name of the risen Lord. We gather as siblings of the resurrected one. We gather to share our faith and to worship God. We gather to proclaim the good news of Easter. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Easter people, raise your voices through the singing of hymn number 304.
Easter people, raise your voices. Sounds of heaven in earth should ring. Christ has brought us heaven's choices. Heavenly music, let it ring. Alleluia, alleluia. Easter people, let us sing. Fear of death can no more stop us from our pressing here below. For
as we gather into the presence of the holy God who rights our wrongs, let us now confess who we are with our prayer of common confession and then our silent personal confession. Let us pray. Creator God, we confess that at times we are skeptics. At times we doubt that you exist because of the evil we have seen in the world. Oppression, marginalization, and plain hate still plague our world, and it is hard to see your love and light. Sometimes even those who bear your name do not walk in your ways. Help us to see your goodness in this world. Help us to know your love. Fill us with your love and goodness, so that we might love one another and lift up one another in faith. Amen. Hear now the good news. If any one of us sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he not only forgives our sins, but the sins of the whole world. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. I invite you to now share signs of reconciliation and peace with those around you.
Good morning. May I have all of our children up? And as the children are coming up, my name is Karen Rios, and it is so exciting to have so many of you worshiping with us in person and online. And if there are any children who are on the other side of the screen, please move closer to the screen because this is your time as well. Well, hello, everybody. How are we doing today? Pretty good? Okay, good. We're on the end of spring break, right? And I'm sure you guys did some exciting things. Well, this past week, as a matter of fact, yesterday, I took Olivia go-karting, which was kind of fun for us. But this is also the second Sunday of Easter. But while we were there, we noticed that there was a little girl, and she was crying. She had been, poor Samuel, he's like, I know, that's very sad, isn't it? She was crying. But she had also been going on the go-karts a few times, so why do you think that she might have been crying? Any reason? Anything? Nope. All righty. Well, she was crying because she wanted one more chance to go on that go-kart. She wanted to prolong her experience. And one of the beautiful things about this time of the year is last week was Easter. But this is the time as we're moving into this time of year called Eastertide, meaning that it is a prolonged opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we had a season that was Lent, and does anybody want to try to guess how many days Lent was? Nobody's helping me up here today, I got to tell you. Lent was 40 days, but this season goes from Passover all the way to Pentecost, so that's 50 days. So which season do you think that we want to put a little bit more emphasis on would be this season that we're in now? Because we want to celebrate the beauty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we want to talk about life rather than death. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of the year and for the beauty that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats.
Good morning. My name is Laura Holdike, and I'm thrilled to be here with you on this United Women of Faith Sunday. I'm a proud member of the UWF through my participation in the Susanna Wesley Circle for more than 20 years. I joined after the birth of my oldest son, and at that time the circle, which was made up of young mothers, met once a month on Thursday mornings during preschool, and members of the older circles often provided childcare. I enjoyed the fellowship with other mothers and the faith-based discussions and the speakers that we had that ranged from parenting topics to flower arranging and gardening. But mostly, I enjoyed the opportunities within the circle and the wider UWF group to participate in many outreach programs. Having young children, it was hard to make time for this on my own. But through the circle, I was able to participate by taking meals to the YWCA Women's Shelter. We created a cookbook that many of us still refer to today. We participated in events such as making and selling corsages for Mother's Day. We sold a variety of garden plants, the still popular bake sale that we hold twice a year, and the surprisingly successful used handbag sale that we called Personalities with a Purpose. All the funds generated from these events went to local organizations that we also worked with hands-on. About 13 years ago, when I had a crazy idea to take Reveille's relationship with Swansboro Elementary from a few dedicated mentors to a thriving outreach program, it was the women's circles that jumped in to help first. UWF members helped read to students on Dr. Seuss Day. They worked one-on-one with various teachers in the classrooms. They provided support for the choir program and the art program at the school, and even assisted with field day. They were critical in creating the relationships we now honor today with the Swansboro community. Through these experiences, as well as the quarterly UWF meetings, I began to enjoy multi-generational friendships I was developing with women from the other circles. Throughout my more than two decades with the UWF, I have seen these amazing women support many different causes. The UWF is now an active 80 members at Reveille, 80 women that give their time, their gifts, which is often monetary, and their many, many talents to such groups as the Pace Center, UMFS, the Hermitage, and Westview on the James. You probably won't be surprised to know it's many of these same amazing women that also support Reveille in countless other ways, such as serving as altar guilds, singing in our choirs, Sunday school teachers, serving on various councils and boards here at Reveille, and working with our children and youth. Upon reflection, I feel as if it's these very same women that create the backbone for our outreach program here at Reveille. The UWF is often the first group called upon for support, and you'll find us delivering birthday gifts to the Hermitage, making pancakes for foster families at UMFS, cooking and serving a hot lunch at the Pace Center, and putting on the reception before the December Christmas concert each year, and providing hot meals at Mount Moriah for Friends of the Homeless, just to name a few. So while all those years ago I was yearning for fellowship with other young mothers, I have been blessed to have sisters in faith for 23 years that I have served with, learned from, laughed with, prayed over, and mourned the losses of. I want to thank Ellie Spear for her amazing leadership, and each of the women in the UWF for their dedication, their friendship, for sharing their experience with me, and for the grace that they offer. And I'm so thankful to be a member alongside them. Thank you.
Please join me in praying the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Acts, Chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. This may be found on page 888 in your pew Bible. In this passage, Luke, the author of Acts, describes what the community of faith looked like soon after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. The gospel message this day is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hands in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray that you may speak through me, that you may speak beyond me, and if necessary, that you may speak in spite of me, so that your word may be proclaimed and heard this day. Amen. Well, happy Easter! The first Sunday of Easter, were you here? It was amazing, right? It was filled with flowers and trumpets and horns and bonnets. And it was a beautiful celebration of Jesus' resurrection. But for those of you that might doubt the notion that God had a son who was born of a virgin and died on a cross and then was rose from the grave, if you doubt that even just a little bit, this Sunday is for you. Now, the disciple Thomas gets a bad reputation because of today's scripture. He gets this reputation because he does not believe in the resurrection until he actually sees and touches Jesus. Now, some preachers even call him Doubting Thomas, but I propose this morning for a different take. I want us to look carefully at the experience that the other disciples got to have before him. Jesus came and said to them, "Peace be with you." And the very next thing that he did was show him his hands and his side, as if proving to them who he was. And it was only until then that they were excited that they were seeing the Lord for the first time. Now, yes, Jesus says, "Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." But at least in today's passage, we don't have any examples of that, do we? No, instead, we see the immense importance of seeing with your own eyes, touching with your own fingers. Later, Jesus is going to go on and eat and drink and walk with the disciples. These disciples are using all of their senses to take in the amazing witness of the resurrection. Jesus is no longer preaching that true life triumphs over death. He is living it out. And people are experiencing it every time they walk and talk and eat with him. For me, today's passage highlights the tremendous power that experiencing Jesus' resurrection has on actually believing it. And why does it matter if we believe in the resurrection anyways? Today's story of Thomas ends with this: "But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life." You see, this is not about God's ego of being known about how amazing God is. It's not about us being on the winning team because we chose the right religion. It's not about any of that. It is so that we will have life. That is what God cares about, that we all live the life that we were created for. So how do we do that? There's a beautiful Wendell Berry poem that ends with a challenge: practice resurrection. Now, it may sound like a strange notion to practice resurrection, but in today's passage from Acts, we see a group of people that are doing just that. They are continuing Jesus' ministry of enabling people to experience the resurrection well after he ascends to heaven. The group of people in Acts, they have every reason to be filled with doubt and fear and despair now that their leader has been gone. But instead, look at them. They are celebrating the new life of their new community in radical ways. They were of one heart and one mind, Scripture tells us. They weren't worried if they were going to have enough, but instead, they shared with one another all that they had in such a radical and profound way that not one of them was in need. Can you imagine a community like that? We are seeing in today's Acts passage the very first days of the church. And what is it? It is simply a group of people in deep connection with one another, sharing the gifts they have. And the author of Acts tells us that living in such a way gives a powerful testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. Now, this morning we are celebrating the United Women in Faith. And these women's circles are seen all around the world. I know my two grandmothers were very active in their circles in Kentucky and in Oklahoma. These circles have been a part of the Methodist Church for over 150 years. And they've gone by many names, such as the Women's Society of Christian Service, United Methodist Women, and now United Women in Faith. But no matter where or when or what they were called, these women have been practicing resurrection. Just like the community that we see in Acts, these women develop a deep connection with one another. And they go on to share their gifts with their church and their world. And in doing so, they help all of us experience the Easter message. When these women's circles feed the hungry, educate those deemed not worthy of education, build homes for the orphaned, nurse the sick, advocate for the powerless, they take things that on the surface seem lifeless and broken, and they revive them. Just like Laura, I have had a number of powerful experiences with these women's circles. But none of them has been as powerful as when I personally experienced them bringing life to me during a time that I felt empty. I was right out of college, and I moved to Washington, D.C. And I was lost, and I felt discouraged in all of the ways that young people who are trying to find themselves are lost and discouraged. And I don't know what it was that drew me to do it, but I walked down to the local United Methodist Church in my neighborhood, and I went to their United Methodist Women Christmas Tea, where we were to sing Christmas carols. And after singing a few Christmas carols, I got my cup of tea, and I was welcomed in a profound way that I hadn't felt in a long time. And I experienced a sense of community and connection and love and life in an abounding way. Just like Reveille, that church in Northern Virginia was filled with women's circles that provided fellowship for one another and had a tireless commitment to serving their church, their community, and their world. Within just a few months of joining that circle, I became involved in my community by teaching English to a number of immigrants in this space and by making health kits. At church, I began teaching fifth grade Sunday school, I led our stewardship campaign, and eventually, I went to seminary. You see, when I walked into that Christmas tea, I was doubting who I was. But these women, they treated me as a beloved child of God with unique and abounding gifts. Their fellowship fed me in indescribable ways, and their commitment to serving their church and their community inspired me to do the same. With all of my senses, I felt a resurrection of my self-worth and my faith because of these women. Now, when I was appointed 8 years ago to relaunch the United Methodist Campus Ministry at VCU, known as the Pace Center, that experience that I had played a foundational role and still does today in what we do at Pace. We serve students who are born and bred United Methodists, but we serve a whole lot more students who have never walked through the doors of a church before. We serve some who have been at church and have doubted what they've heard, and we serve many others who have been harmed by the church over and over again. Our goal for each and every one of those students, no matter what their experience of church has been, is for each of them to know that they are valued and to experience connection and community. We help students learn what gifts God has uniquely given them, and we support them to use those gifts to build a loving and a caring community for each other. So why does that work matter? Why does the work that Laura talked to us about today, why does any of this matter? Why is it essential to the life of the church? Because we saw from the story of Thomas today that until you experience something for yourself, it is hard to believe it. We, church, we are preaching a radical message into the world, aren't we? It's pretty crazy, the things that we are saying. We are saying to the world that even though they are feeling pain and suffering, and they're exhausted, and they might feel lost, that God has created them for something more. That we are all created for a community of connection and love and caring. That is the message that we preach, and nobody is going to believe that unless they get an experience, a taste of it themselves. When I was in seminary, my United Methodist history professor was a bishop, and he had been a bishop of a number of conferences over the years. And when we learned about the United Methodist women, on the day that we learned that, it was clear that he was setting out to give each of us, aspiring clergy, a dose of humility. Bishop Carter preached to us that the women's circles have been and still are the engine of the church. You see, the United Methodist Church grew so quickly in the United States because each pastor had about 12 churches that they cared for. They rode on horseback every week to a new church. So they only got to their church about once a quarter, every few months, and they were there to preach the message. But it was the women's circle who with their work of healing and connection enabled those communities to taste and touch and feel the message throughout the year. And those women inspired men's circles and mission teams and entire communities to do the same. Now, we clergy, we are not riding around on horseback anymore, although it seems like that sometimes. But the work of these women is just as important as it was back then. And why? Because the world is hungry, not just to hear the message of Easter, but to experience it. We have over 1,000 students that come through our doors at the Pace Center every semester, because when they experience the resurrection, it brings them life. Now, each of us are here today, and maybe not all of us believe with every single fiber of our being that Jesus' body was resurrected from the dead. Maybe there's just an ounce of doubt. But we come this Sunday because there's something about this place. It's not filled with toxic positivity. Instead, it acknowledges our tired and our grieving souls, and it is because of that that the message of restoration and resurrection is so much more palpable. As you come to the communion table this morning, I encourage all of you to use your senses to taste and touch and see the powerful Easter message of God's love. May this great feast nourish your body and your soul so that you may practice resurrection with the unique gifts that God has given each and every one of us. Who knows? By practicing resurrection, you may inspire others to believe in it as well. You might even come to believe in it more fully yourself. Let us pray. God, we come to you this day, hungry for new life. Make the Easter message so real to us that we can see and taste it, and empower us to embody it out into the world. Amen.
Let us pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day where we gather as Easter people, remembering your grace and your power and your presence that goes with us even in those seasons of life and times when we are like Thomas and we bring our doubts to you, we bring the things we don't understand to you, and yet you are here and you welcome and you offer your grace to each and every one of us as we are. We come in praise and thanksgiving that this is who you are and that you receive us this day. We give you thanks, O Lord, that the risen Christ is here in our worship, in our midst, in our presence, in the table, and that he has invited us and called us to live into this resurrection life of which we have heard this day. It is our prayer, Lord, that we could always remember that he is with us, that he guides us and guards us. Lord, we give you thanks especially this day for our United Women in Faith. We thank you for all that they do, all that they bring, all the difference they make in so many lives. And we pray your blessing upon them and their continued ministry as they continue to serve as Easter people and lead us in so many ways of mission and service. Lord, we take this opportunity to pray also this day for all who grieve, for all who are ill, for all who need a fresh word of hope in this day. Lord, we pray that your grace would abide in them and in us and empower us as your church to serve those who are seeking more of you this day and all days. We give you thanks, O Lord, that you have called us to this place, and we ask your blessing upon us as we continue to seek and serve and follow the risen Christ in all circumstances of life and beyond. For this prayer we offer to you in the strong name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we'd like to continue our worship as our ushers come forward to receive our morning offering.
My soul, let it
Let us please be seated.
Will you turn with me in page 13 in your hymnal as we celebrate the Great Thanksgiving? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a joyful, good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed in us your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this often in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this often in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will
pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and this cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his love. By your Spirit, O Lord, make us one with Christ. Make us one with each other. Make us one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of Easter people, let us pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ broken for us. The blood of Christ poured out for us.
Friends, as we prepare to come now to the Lord's table, we would remind all of us that we practice what is known as an open table. That means you are welcome to come and receive no matter what. You may be from a different denomination, a different place, but you are welcome here. We will receive this morning by intinction, which means we'll break off a piece of bread and give it to you, which you may then dip into the cup and receive both elements at the same time. We also want you to know that we have gluten-free packets here in the front if you are more comfortable with that. We invite you to come forward, and we invite our servers to come forward now as we gather around this feast of grace.
Joy of this day when grace
Will you join with me in the prayer after receiving found in your bulletin? Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Make us ever faithful to your high calling. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Will you rise with me and sing hymn 555, Forward Through the Ages? Let us now go out into the world as people of faith, even maybe people of doubt, who are living in to the resurrection, who are Easter people. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all God's children said together, Amen.